Chapter 15, Printers, Modems, and Computers. Transmission considerations. Your bell light is 2 set from the factory for 9600 baud, 8 data bits, 1 socket, no parity, half duplex, and software handshaking. If you're unfamiliar with these terms and you don't know what your other device expects these settings to be, review section 13.2 before continuing. It might save you countless hours of frustration. The first time you tried to transmit data between the braille light and another device. And while we're about it, if you bypass the discussion of cables, section 13.1, I suggest you take a minute to skim over that section as well. Wrong cables account for a considerable amount of technical support questions and needless frustration. Now let's talk about a couple of settings on the braille light we deliberately left out of section 13.2 to avoid confusion. Activating the serial port. To conserve power, the serial port on the braille light is normally turned off. Before you can communicate with any external device through this port, you must activate it. The longer the serial port is active, the greater the drain on the braille light's battery. If you make heavy use of the port, the battery drains quickly. Don't think anything is wrong with the battery if you start getting battery low warning messages after only 7 hours of use, for instance. So check your battery drain periodically. See section 1.5.3 for details. There is no reminder that the serial port is active once the unit is turned on. If the serial port was left active the last time you turned off the braille light, when you next turn it on, the startup message says, "Braille light ready, serial port." So it's important to turn off the serial port immediately upon completing communication with another device to save battery power. Of course, you can check whether the port is active, enter the status menu with an ST sound cord, and write an F. The braille light says, "Serial port off." To turn it on, write a Y. To turn it off later, write an N. Or press a key cord to bring up the parameters menu. At the enter parameter prompt, write .T6 cord. The braille light says, "Serial port, enter wire N." Whatever your choice, the braille light may only speak in response, although most of the time you'll hear the confirming prompt OK. This setting is hard to change on purpose to avoid accidental activation of the serial port. 15.1.2, Appending Line Feeds. Back in Chapter 4, we explained the difference between a carriage return and a line feed and why it is that you don't really need to have line feeds present in your files on the braille light. Let's revisit this briefly to see how it applies to our present discussion on transmitting text. In effect, the carriage return moves the cursor to the left margin of the line. In the braille light, it doesn't affect your reading because you are not physically moving up and down a piece of paper to read. So the carriage return serves only as a marker. A line feed, on the other hand, moves the cursor to the next line on the page. Once again, in a braille light file, line feeds are meaningless because you're not physically moving vertically along a piece of paper. However, it's clear that when you print the contents of braille light files, you need both carriage returns and line feeds. Otherwise, a printer will simply print the first line of text, then return the carriage to the left margin and print the next line, and the next, without ever moving down the page. And you can guess what a jumble of letters you have, all on the same line. Some printers actually refuse to print at all if they don't receive pairs of carriage returns and line feeds. Luckily, there's a provision built into the braille light to deal with this. Enter the status menu with the ST sign cord. Write an A. The braille light says something like, "Add line feed when transmitting, off." Turn this parameter on with a Y and off with an N. Unless you're transmitting, you'll want it off. Or press a key chord to bring up the parameters menu. Write an A for add line feed, and turn on the settings before you transmit your file. A word of caution. The add line feed setting is not file specific. Even if the setting to make parameters file specific in the status menu is on. This is important because if you forget to turn it off when you're through printing, all of your files will retain line feeds, and that may cause other transmission problems. Next, let's quickly revisit page formatting to make sure your printouts come out just right. Point two, physical page format considerations. When sending text directly to a printer, Braille embosser, or computer, you want it to look right in that environment. In other words, if the text is going to a printer, you probably want the page length to be 54 lines, with top, bottom, left, and right margins of about an inch, for example. If the text is going to a Braille embosser, on the other hand, no doubt you'll want something like a page length of 25 lines, a line width of 40 characters, and a grade D Braille. As you'll recall, these format considerations can be handled simply by including special formatting strings in your file as you write, and by setting certain parameters at transmission time. Review section 4.10 for a complete discussion of formatting strings and parameters. Here, we'll only focus on settings and formatting strings that affect the actual process of printing or brailing. All of these formatting strings can be added temporarily and removed once the commands they initiate have been performed by the printer or braille embosser. Printing text without translating. There may be times when you want a portion of your file not to be translated from grade to braille because you've written it in computer braille instead. For example, say your document explains how to write a certain MS-DOS command that has classes in it. If you do nothing to warm the braille light, when it prints your file to an ink printer, every slash will be printed as an ST. In fact, you should be aware of this even as you write it, because the braille light will pronounce things like slash W as STW. To prevent the braille light from accidentally translating something you don't want translated, you have two options for temporarily stopping translation. Place a dollar sign BRL plus just before the text you want to print, untranslated, and a dollar sign BRL minus just before the place where you want translation to resume. Or use the symbol dot four followed by a dash dot 36 at the beginning of a group of characters you don't want translated, and a dot four followed by an L when you want translation to resume. Like the dollar formatting string, the dot four symbol requires spaces around it. So you'd write something like space dot four dash space do not translate this text space dot four L space. Either method works. It's just a matter of preference. If you just want one character not to be translated, say an asterisk dot 1/6 in computer braille, place the dot four before the character. Finding out what page is being printed. There are two ways to find out what page is being printed. You can either insert the string $ST at the place where you want specifically to hear what page is being printed. As it's printing, the braille light will announce status directive encountered on page X, line X, at the place you wrote the formatting string in your file, the X's being the actual number of the page and line printing at that time. Or, you could always just press the space bar. as you're printing at any time to hear what page is being printed. This way, you don't have to add a special string into your file at any particular point in the file. Transmitting a portion of the document. Although we covered this in section 4.10.6, we review it here for clarity. There are two ways you can limit how much of your document actually goes to the printer or braille embosser. For example, you might just want to print out page 1 to see how your text is lining up in the columns you set up. At the point where you want the printer to stop, write a $ES in your file. When you transmit your document to the printer, it will stop at the place immediately before your $ES string. But what if your printer jammed on page 4 and you need to start from there, just before the place where you want the printer to skip the text? Write a $left(), into your file, just before the place where you want the printer to start paying attention again and begin printing. Write a $(), even if you're not sure of the physical location in your file where the printer would begin page 4. There is a way to find that out before you actually insert the strings we just described. In section 15.2.5, we'll show you how to figure out where the word you're on would print on a physical page and line. 15.2.4, double spacing a document on the fly. In section 4.10.4, we describe how you can place a formatting string into your file so that your document will print out with a blank line in between each line of text. This type of printout is often used in a school setting where a professor wants to be able to add comments to your paper or exam. In some cases, you'll want to have only a portion of your document print double-spaced, and then the rest print out single-spaced, which is the standard way to print out documents. The formatting strings discussed in section 4.10.4 are best for that scenario because you can place them exactly where you want the text to print out double-spaced and single-spaced, respectively. But if you want the whole document to print double-spaced, it's quicker to use the status menu setting for double-spacing. Enter the status menu with the usual ST:\Chord.34 chord and jump to the setting with an AR sign. Double spacing is set to off from the factory. Write a Y to turn it on. Now, when you print your document, or when you check out how many pages the printed document would contain, you'll get a very different answer. Because, of course, it's as if your document were itself doubled in size. The good thing is that it doesn't take up any more room in your braille light, since the setting in the status menu controls the additional blank lines. It's just like the add line feed setting in this respect. It doesn't change the way your file looks on the braille display or make the braille light's voice read the file differently. It just affects the printout of the file. Unless you have the setting that makes parameters file specific turned off, double spacing is only in effect for the currently open file. That's probably the way you want it, because otherwise, all your documents would print out double-spaced. Mm-hmm. 15.2.5, previewing where text will print. Remember from section 4.10.5 that you can control page numbering for both print and braille files with formatting strings. Also, recall that there is a setting in the status menu that you can turn on to number your pages if you don't want or need to include format strings in your file. You can check how many physical print or braille pages your file would contain before you'd actually print or braille it on physical paper. By now, you know how essential it is to set up your page format parameters to get accurate margins and page lengths, etc. Always check page format parameters in your currently open file before you transmit it to a printer or Braille embosser to make sure the settings match your expectations. Let's look at an example. Suppose you want to print a file containing 500 characters of text all in Grade 2 Braille. We can't be exactly sure how many print or Braille pages that file turns into without knowing how many blank lines you have and how many tags returns you physically put into the file. But even beyond that, if you set up your page format parameters for print with, say, 66 lines per page and 65 characters per line, when the Braille light counts the number of pages, it will determine a very different number than if you had set your page format parameters to a page length of 25 and a line length of 40, as for a Braille file. The whole business can be confusing. But you can stay on top of it by checking whether the file is a Braille or a print file, by checking your page format parameters before checking how many physical pages will be printed or brailled, and certainly before transmitting the file itself. Even with page numbering turned off from the status menu, as long as you have a print or braille page length greater than zero, you can get a reading on how many physical pages your file will contain when it's printed or brailled. Working with our example of a 500-character Grade 2 Braille file, go to the end of the file and press an SH sign chord, .146 chord. The Braille light says, enter T, B, or A. After you write either a T or B, the Braille light hisses for a couple of seconds. Eventually, it says something like, page 2, line 17. Assuming you responded with a T, you now know that when you actually print out this file, it will contain two pages, and the second of the two will be only about a third of the way full of text. If you had chosen a B response, and you got this reading, you could assume that the file would braille out as a two-page document with the second page almost two-thirds full of text. If you choose the A option, you'll get a reading on how many absolute Braille light pages there are in your file, up to the point where your cursor is resting. In our 500-character file, you're still on Braille light page 1, of course, since the Braille light page is 4,096 characters long. There can be a problem if you don't have page numbering turned on and you have a Braille or print page length of 0 set in the status menu. In this scenario, when you invoke the SH sign chord and choose the P or B response, you hear no page format set. We suggest you try a few test runs, setting up page format parameters and using the page numbering setting as trials before you actually trust that things will be transmitted as you expect. All printers and Braille embossers, especially printers, have quirks that may require different values than we recommend for the settings. Nevertheless, once you get these page format issues under control, you should be transmitting virtually flawlessly formatted documents all the time. It's a matter of practice. Now we're finally ready to tackle actually transmitting blocks of text from the Braille light to another device. Sending blocks of text to another device. In this section, we deal specifically with sending blocks of text from the Braille light to another device, such as a printer. Naturally, a block of text can be a whole file, but it can just as easily be less than that. Of course, you can use the commands discussed here to transmit blocks of text to other devices as well as the printers. But look at section 15.5 for more sophisticated ways to transmit files to and from computers. When you're sending blocks of text directly from the Braille light to your printer, you must choose the format, Braille or print, and you must consider things like page length, line width, and page numbering, as we discussed in a previous section. Formatting the text from the Braille light is less important if you intend to edit the text through the word processor after you've sent it to your computer. But certainly you'll want your format to be just right if you're going to transmit directly to each other. A telecommunications program can facilitate adjusting telecommunications settings to match those on the Bell light. Furthermore, such a program can perform error checking during the transmission. There are several shareware versions that work well with speech synthesizers and screen-assist programs, and Lazy Engineering even has a program for $39 called PC Disk that uses almost all the same commands as our portable disk drive, including Y-modem transfer commands. For our discussion, we'll assume you have such a program and are familiar with its use. Remember to address those essential physical page format parameter considerations before you send text to a printer, or you may find the resulting printout very strange indeed. Now let's go through the mechanics of the transmission process. You can send text from the Braille light to another device in the following ways. The entire file, a single line, paragraph, or a block of text. Each of these options starts with a P chord. Writing a certain letter after the enter transmit parameter prompt sends the desired amount of text to the other device. If you want the entire file to be sent to an ink printer, choose the letter A. To send the entire file to a Braille embosser, choose the letter B. However, if you just want to send a smaller portion of the file, a line, paragraph, or a marked block of text, when you press its corresponding letter, an L, T, or M, the Braille light is going to ask if you want to send the text in print or Braille. Also with a P or a B, and your text is on its way, using appropriate formatting for print or Braille. Here are some details. When you're ready to send text from your currently open file, place your cursor where you want the transmission to begin, then press a P chord. The Braille light says, enter transmit parameter. Write an L, T, or V to indicate whether you are sending from the current cursor position to the end of the current line, L, paragraph, T, M, marked block, or entire text from the cursor forward, V. Of course, to send a block of text that does not extend to the end of the file, you need to define the block. Before issuing the P chord, you must mark the block to be transmitted. Find the final character you want to include in your transmission. Move beyond it one character with about 6 chords. Mark the place by pressing an M chord. Then move to your starting point, the first character you want to include in your transmission. Now that we have defined the block to transmit, press a T chord. At the enter transmit parameter prompt, write an M. Then choose either T for print or B for Braille. And all the text from the current cursor location to the mark is transmitted. The nice thing is that appropriate print or Braille margins are honored for ink printers and Braille embossers respectively. The commands T chord A or T, T chord B, and T chord F reduce the number of steps you need to perform in order to transmit text. T chord A or T automatically moves the cursor to the beginning of your file and transmits everything within that file. Any format conditions you have in effect are honored, respective to whether you're transmitting to print or Braille, margins, lines, and page lengths, etc. T chord B sends text from the beginning to the end of the file, but it turns off the Braille translator. It is the command of choice to transmit text directly to a Braille embosser. Any format values you may have set are in effect. If page numbering is on, the Braille page numbers are included in the printout in literary Braille notation. T chord F performs steps which are essential if you want to send clean text to a device for backup purposes only. If you want no format considerations, no Braille translation, and all of your text sent, then use the T chord F. It sends your cursor to the beginning of the file, turns off the Braille translator, if it is on, and sets all format parameters to zero before transmitting the entire file. Since the Bell Light also has a parallel port through which you can transmit, let's show you how that works. All you have to do differently is to use cords instead of plain letters to select one of the options. So when you press a key chord and get the font, enter transmit parameter, press a second key chord for the entire file, B chord, L chord, M chord, T chord, F chord, or V chord, to send the transmission to the parallel port. No, that first option wasn't a misprint. Instead of using an A chord to transmit all text in your file, you need to press a second key chord because, of course, A chord is .1 chord, and .1 chord takes you back a choice in the options list for the key chord command. Those are the different ways to send blocks of text from the Braille light to another device. But wait, don't try printing just yet. Anyone who does a lot of printing knows how much paper is wasted in printouts that didn't come out just right for one reason or another. One final thing you can do before actually transmitting a file to a printer or a Braille embosser is to print a file to another file. What? How could that be of use, you might wonder. What we're suggesting here is transmitting your file with all of its formatting things as if it were going to a printer or a Braille embosser to another file in your Braille light. Transmitting the file as if it were going to a real printer means that all formatting things are replaced by the actual physical layout of the text, with pages numbered, say, with headers maybe, indented sections, etc. Then you can examine the layout carefully and make any necessary corrections to the file that still has the formatting thing. It might also save a few keys. To print a file, from wherever you want to start in your currently open file, press a key chord. At the prompt, enter transmit parameter, write an F. The Braille light prompt, enter transmit parameter again. At this point, you can choose any of the options we've just described, A, B, L, M, T, S, or Z. The Braille light then prompts, enter file name. Write a file name like test1 and press a record. If the name you write doesn't exist already, your file is transmitted to the file called test1, and the Braille light says OK when it's done. However, if there is already a file in your Braille light called test1, you hear a prompt, file exists. Delete, skip, rename, or abort. When you choose D, the currently open file replaces the old one. When you choose R for rename, the Braille light still transmits your file to test1, but it also adds a zero extension to your old file. When you select S or A, the whole transfer process is canceled. We recommend setting Display All to On and turning on 8.Braille. Most likely you'll find it easier to check through the file to see how it would appear on paper by reading it on the Braille display rather than by listening to it with the Braille light's voice. Here's one instance where the Braille display can really facilitate matters. Chances are, an error in layout will leap out at you when you're reading with the display, whereas, with the voice, you may or may not catch every layout glitch. Modems and other computers. Modems are special devices that link two computers together through the telephone line. You hook up a computer to your phone line by connecting the computer first to the modem, and then the modem to the phone jack, or to the phone itself. The computer you're calling is similarly linked to a phone line through a modem. We won't spend time on how modems work. These devices, too, have manuals which describe their setup and detail the commands to which they respond. For example, you can tell a modem to dial a phone, either by tones or by dial pulses, to dial 9 first. Wait for a specified period before dialing the rest of the other computer's phone number, to answer the telephone when it rings and on which ring to answer, etc. The computer on your end of such a connection could easily be your Braille light. Now, turning to computers, If you have a computer and you want to transmit data between it and your Braille light, you need to run a telecommunications program in that computer. This program sets up the computer to receive information from an outside source, in this case, your Braille light. As with printers, having the correct cable goes a long way toward making things easy. Blazer Engineering has telecommunications programs for the IBM PC, and simple file capture programs for both the IBM PC compatible and the Apple families of computers. Also, there are several shareware products that work well with screen access programs. In addition, we have programs that come with our external disk drive, such as the Textbook Writer and the Financial Calculator. Since these programs come on an MS-DOS compatible 3.5-inch floppy disk, even if you don't have a disk drive, you can still load them into your Braille light by using a PC. Check with our customer support staff to find out how to obtain any of these programs. Now let's see how to connect the Braille light to devices other than printing. To link your Braille light to a modem, to another Braille light or a Braille instance, and to some computers like Apple models, you need a no modem cable or adapter. As we mentioned in section 16.1, matching up the right cables really eases your connectivity challenges. Make sure you get a no modem cable with the right attributes to match your Braille light cable and a serial port on your modem or computer. The manual for your computer or modem should indicate whether you need a no modem cable, and certainly the dealer that sold it to you should be able to provide this information. We'll focus on the IBM PC compatible since it is the computer of choice for most visually impaired users, and since it doesn't require a no modem cable. Assuming you've connected the cables properly and have a telecommunications program running in your PC, you should be all set to transmit data. One last thing though, before you start attempting to transmit data, remember to make sure your telecommunications settings match baud rate, parity, data bits, stop bits, duplex, and handshaking. In section 13.2, we detailed all of these for you and explained how to change them, if necessary, on your Braille light. Naturally, we can't explain how your particular telecommunications program allows you to change such settings. We suggest that you go through that manual for your telecommunications program to verify what the default telecommunications settings are, and that you check out how to change them in your telecommunications program if the need arises. Again, transmitting data can be a breeze, but only if all the settings match on both your Braille light and the other device, and if your cables are the proper cables. Overlooking any one of these issues can cause you needless frustration and confusion. Setting it up right the first time will save you many headaches later. Back in section 4.10, we said we'd have to introduce you to another cursor tracking mode in addition to the keyboard cursor tracking mode we talked about in that section. If you're hazy about cursor tracking and keyboard tracking, go back and review that information in section 4.11. It'll save you time in understanding this new tracking mode we're about to discuss. When you're hooked up to a computer or to a modem, it's likely that data is coming into your Braille light not just as whole files, but also as prompts and menus of choices. This is especially true when you're using your modem to talk to a bulletin board or to another user by modem. As data comes into your Braille light from another device, it's automatically spoken to you. But the Braille display doesn't necessarily move by itself just because data is being transmitted. Serial tracking, when turned on from the status menu, makes the display jump you to approximately the last 18 characters worth of data that the other device has sent into your Braille light. If serial tracking is off, as it comes set from the factory, you can find out what came from the other device by tapping the right end of the advance bar to move forward through the data that was sent. This is usually the most desirable setup, that is, you hear the data being sent, but you review it by moving your display forward. when you type something in response to the data that came in, whether you see what you're typing as you're writing depends on whether you have keyboard tracking in effect. If you're confused, see the telecommunications questions in Appendix A for help. There may be times when you want the display to place you at the end of the data that was sent. This is mostly in cases where you're already familiar with the menu of choices being sent by a bulletin board, for instance. You want to be where the data stopped sending, so that you can tell when the Braille display has stopped receiving data. To turn on serial tracking, bring up the status menu and jump to the setting by pressing a two chord. Write a Y to turn on the setting. From now on, your Braille display will jump to the end of your file at the place where the data finished coming in from the other device. To toggle serial tracking on and off on the fly without having to go into the status menu, simply press the letter T together with the advance bar. Nevertheless, we suggest keeping it on most of the time when you're getting data from another device, so you always know the last piece of information that it sent. Next, we look at using modem protocols to transmit data between your Braille light and a computer. Using sophisticated modem protocols in transmission. So far in our discussion of transmitting data from your Braille light to a computer, we've talked exclusively about using your two chord command. There is a simpler way to transmit data when you're dealing with whole files. A telecommunications program helps you to match telecommunications settings in the PC with those in your Braille light. It also helps you to transfer your files in the most error-free manner possible. Telecommunications programs vary in their levels of sophistication, but even the most basic ones ask you whether the file you're transmitting is in ASCII. Recall that the ASCII character set is made up largely of the alphabet, punctuation marks, numbers, and so on. It is possible to transmit a file that is a program written in binary or machine language, which is not an ASCII character, from one computer to another, and most telecommunications programs have provisions for transmitting such files. For the most part, however, files you transmit from your Braille light to a computer are ASCII files, even if they're in grade 2 Braille. When your telecommunications program is ready to receive a file from your Braille light and asks you whether you are sending it an ASCII file, you can answer yes, and use your key chord command on the Braille light, followed by the appropriate letter B for a Braille file, for example. However, most telecommunications packages now have more flexibility, and so does your Braille light. When it's ready to receive your file, a telecommunications program may also ask you whether you want to use a modem protocol, such as X modem, Y modem, Z modem, and even Kermit. Most of the time, any of these options is probably a better choice than a straight ASCII transfer. Note, the Braille light does not support Z modem. Basically, what these options do is to take the transmission in chunks rather than one character at a time, and to perform error checking on each chunk before accepting the next chunk. This explanation oversimplifies the concept, but at least this gives you a feel for why you might want to use a modem protocol. Let's go through a couple of examples of electing to use modem protocols for transmitting a file between the Braille light and your PC. Here again, we assume that all cables are connected properly, that you have mapped the baud rate, parity, data bits, and stop bits, etc. And we further assume that you are running a telecommunications program in your PC. First, let's look at a transfer going from the PC to your Braille light. From the Files menu in the Braille light, enter a key chord for transfer. The Braille light prompts, enter S to send or R to receive. If you press an S or an R, you hear the names of the files as they are being transmitted. For now, let's write an R to receive a file. Now the Braille light gives you some options to consider. Enter X for X modem, Y for Y modem, Z for Y modem G, or K for Kermit. Note, Y modem G does not work with 38,400 baud for a file longer than one page. If you write an X for X modem, the Braille light asks, enter file name. Write the file name followed by an E chord. The Braille light confirms your choice with start the transfer. Obviously, on the PC side of things, you must choose X for X modem as well, in order for the transfer to work properly. If you choose Y for Y modem, G for Y modem G, or K for Kermit, the Braille light does not prompt you for a file name because it gets that information as part of the transfer automatically. It creates a file name in your Braille light as it receives it from the PC. Incidentally, remember the F chord command for the disk drive? You can use the Y option for that command as well to transmit files to an attached disk drive. Now, let's make sure you understand how to approach this process from the PC side. From within your telecommunications program, you select the Upload option. When the program asks how you want to send this PC file and offers you the various cases we've just discussed, you'll select the one that matches what you chose on the Braille light. So choose X for X modem if you selected that on the Braille light, for example. The telecommunications program asks you for the name of the PC file you want to send. Type the file name and press the appropriate key in the telecommunications program to send the file using the Enter key on your PC. When the Braille light has received the file, it will let you know with an OK prompt, followed by an Enter file command. Why that prompt? Well, remember that you issued the key chords from the Files menu. You're still there. If you want to see the contents of the file you just received, press a .456 chord to bring you to the last file in your files list, and then press an O chord to open it. Now, let's say that something went wrong and the transfer was aborted. In such a case, the Braille light says, transfer canceled, enter file command. You'll probably see some kind of error message on your PC as well. If you use the X modem option for transmitting files, you can only transmit one file at a time. However, with Y modem or Kermit, you can receive multiple files, and you can even use the wildcard characters as detailed in section 6.8 and appendix A for groups of files with similar names. For example, when your telecommunications program asks you for the name of the file you want to send, you could type *.txt. All files that have a .txt extension in your current PC directory are queued up and sent to the Braille light. Each one is added to your files list with its own name as it is received by the Braille light. Our whole discussion so far assumes that there are no duplicate file names between the files you're trying to send from the PC and your Braille light files. But whenever the Braille light sees an incoming file that already exists, it stops and says, file exists, delete, skip, rename, or abort. When you select D for delete, your PC file replaces the Braille light file. When you choose S for skip, the PC just moves on to the next file name you marked for it to send to your Braille light. When you choose R for rename, your PC file is still sent to your Braille light, but the Braille light adds a zero extension to your old file's name to distinguish it from the one coming in from the PC. Choosing A for abort cancels the entire transfer process. Now let's look at sending a file from the Braille light to the PC using modem protocol options. We'll use the file called practice we created in Chapter 4 as our sample file to transmit to the PC. Enter the Files menu and then press a key chord. This time respond with an S to the prompt, enter S to send or R to receive. Now you are prompted to enter X for X modem, 1 for X modem 1, K, Y for Y modem, or K for Kermit. We didn't see the option 1 for X modem 1, K in the option for receiving files from the PC because the Braille light can distinguish whether it is receiving a file with plain X modem or with X modem with 1K protocol. Also notice that you don't see the option G for Y modem G here. If you had set your PC to receive the Braille light file with Y modem G, simply choose the Y modem option on the Braille light side to send the file to the PC. If you choose either the X or 1 options for the two available X modem choices, you can send only one Braille light file at a time to your PC. However, if you choose either Y for Y modem or K for Kermit, you can send a bunch of files from your Braille light to the PC. When you choose the Y or K options for sending files from the Braille light to the PC, the Braille light places you in your files list so that you can mark the files you want to send. Marking files in your files list prepares them to be sent. We'll see how in a minute. After you've marked the files you want to send, press an E chord to start the transmitting. There are several ways to mark files for transmitting. One way is to move through your files list with .1 chords and .4 chords. You can press a C chord to hear the name of the file you're pointing to repeated, and you can use L chords and .456 chords to move you to the beginning and end of your files list, as usual. When you come across a file you do want to send to the PC, mark it by writing a Y. In other words, you're saying, yes, I want to send this file. The Braille light responds, file name is marked. Now you can continue through your files list, marking other files to send to the PC. As you move through your files list in this marking process, the Braille light tells you whether the file you're pointing to is already marked. If a file was already marked from a previous transmission that you don't want to send at the present time, you can unmark it by writing an N. A faster way to move through this marking process is to press a Y chord that marks the file and automatically moves you to the next file in your files list. The fastest way of all is to send every file in your list to the PC, say for backup purposes. In that case, simply write an M to mark all files, except for help in the clipboard. Press a U to unmark all your files at once. Yet another way to use the marking feature is to press an M chord or a U chord to mark and unmark a specific group of files that have similar names. For example, suppose you have several files in your Braille light with names like address.brl and practice.brl. You can press an M chord followed by the character star.brl, and all files with names that end in .brl are marked for sending to your PC. Similarly, you can press a U chord followed by star.brl to unmark all such files so that they are not sent to your PC. By the way, pressing the space bar toggles between marking and unmarking files to which you're currently pointing also. Remember, throughout this whole discussion of marking files, we've been in the middle of the transmission process. In other words, you entered your files menu, pressed the key chord to transmit, and then wrote an S for sending files from the Braille light to the PC. You then chose either Y or K for your modem protocol. And finally, now you have marked the files you want to send. To tell the Braille light that you finished marking files, as we said earlier, you press an E chord. That says, okay, I'm done choosing the files I'm going to send the Braille light. Now go ahead and send them, please. The Braille light says, start the transfer. This means that it's ready to send and is waiting for the signal from your PC that says, okay, I'm ready to receive. So now on the PC, select the download option in your telecommunications program. When prompted, choose the same protocol as you chose on your Braille light, for example, Y. For Y modem, you should hear ticking and hissing from the Braille light and the disk drive spinning in your PC as files come into it. In fact, you'll also hear numbers coming across your PC screen. Don't worry, these are error checking signals being emitted, and it's an indication that all is well. Should things go wrong, the PC and the Braille light both issue messages telling you that the transfer has been aborted. In the case of the Braille light, you'll find yourself back in the files menu at the prompt enter file command. You can either try the transfer again or check to see whether all your telecommunications settings match up, whether there's enough room in your PC to accept files, etc. See Appendix A for more help. Now we turn to another convenient feature of the Braille light. It can double as a speech synthesizer with a screen access program on your PC. Thank you. 15.6.
The Bell Light has a speech synthesizer. The Bell Light can perform double duty. Yeah. Not only can it serve as your traveling note taker, record keeper, and calendar, it can be your portable speech synthesizer as well. As long as you have the appropriate cable and a screen access program in your PC that supports the Bell Light, you can link your Bell Light to a PC through its serial port, just as you would any other external speech synthesizer. See section 13.1 for a full discussion of cables. Also, even though some speech synthesizers now use a parallel port, the Bell Light's parallel port only supports printers. Let's see how it works. First, we assume that you have a screen access program in your PC and that you understand its use. There are numerous screen access programs on the market. Blazy Engineering even has one of its own called PC Master. We won't get into the mechanics of how your screen access program works here, but we'll explain how to link the Bell Light to your screen access program so that you can use the Bell Light as a speech synthesizer. The Bell Light works as a speech synthesizer with screen access programs that support the Bell and speech as a speech synthesizer. Check whether the vendor of your screen access program supports the Bell and speech. If so, you may have to set up the screen access program with a Bell and speech driver supplied by that vendor. You'll need to hook up the Bell Light to the serial port of your computer, as previously described, and all telecommunications parameters we detailed earlier, baud rate, handshaking, and so on, must match. You may need to use a telecommunications program to set those parameters properly on your PC, or you may be able to use the MS-DOS mode command. Check your DOS manual for details. But since most screen reader packages preset telecommunications ports through 9600 baud, 8 data bits, one stop bit, and no parity, if you set your unit to match, your screen reader will probably work fine with the Bell Light as a speech synthesizer. To use the Bell Light as a speech synthesizer, get into the Speech Parameters menu with the usual AR sign chord.345 chord. Press an F chord. The Bell Light says, Speech Box Mode on, exit. You don't even have to press an E chord to exit the Speech Parameters menu. For the most part, the Bell Light cannot accept input from its keyboard now. You can't check your calendar, perform a calculation, etc. In effect, you've turned the Bell Light into a dumb device that can only accept information from your PC. The only input your Bell Light accepts from you, directly, on the Bell Light keyboard, is an AR sign chord to re-enter the Speech Parameters menu, followed by an S chord to turn off Speech Box Mode and exit the Speech Parameters menu. Let's practice this much. Even if you don't presently have your Bell Light linked to another device, you can test out this process. Test AR sign chord, followed by an S chord. You'll hear Speech Box Mode on, exit. Now try and write something, anything. An O chord or a C chord. Nothing happens. Your Bell Light is waiting for something from your PC. Even if it isn't hooked up to one, it thinks it is, and patiently waits and waits. Re-enter the Speech Parameters menu with an AR sign chord. Gee, that does work. And you hear the usual prompt, enter Speech Parameters. Now press an S chord, and you hear Speech Box Mode off, exit. You're back in business. The Bell Light should now respond normally again. Assuming your Bell Light is hooked up to a PC, a screen access program that supports it, is properly installed to work with the Bell Light, and you've turned the Bell Light into a speech synthesizer, here's what happens. Just as we said, the Bell Light is now dumb, patiently waiting for something from the PC. It monitors your interaction with the PC. Depending on how your screen access program is set up, every time you type a space or a punctuation mark, the Bell Light may voice the word you just typed, or it may echo every character as you type it. If you issue a command for the screen access program from the PC keyboard, such as read me the whole screen, the Bell Light says the contents of your PC screen to you. A more sophisticated way of using the Bell Light as a speech synthesizer is to turn Speech Box Mode on with a 4 sign chord. If you enter the Speech Parameters menu and press an FOR sign chord, .123456 chord, The bell light gives you a choice about how it should read from the PC. Let's try it now. Again, you can test this out without having your bell light actually hooked up to a PC. From the speech parameters menu, press an FOR sign chord. The bell light says, enter L for line or B for block handshaking. Now, don't confuse this prompt with our earlier discussion of handshaking and telecommunications settings. After you write an L or a B in response to the prompt, the bell light says, speech box mode, on. Then you can enter the speech parameters menu in the usual way with an E chord. The choice of line or block handshaking is really subjective. If you choose line handshaking, the bell light reads you text from your PC a line at a time, pausing at each carriage return. In fact, the computer will not send more text until the bell light has read to you the present line of text. In many cases, you'll find it desirable to have the bell light read this way when you're programming, for example, or reading through a list. Choosing block handshaking, on the other hand, means that the bell light reads you blocks of text up to 256 characters at a time. It doesn't look for a carriage return as it reads to you. Using this choice creates a smoother, more natural-sounding speech from the bell light, with more natural pauses and inflections, rather than pauses controlled by the physical ends of lines on the screen. You'll probably find this a more useful choice for reading through a document, where it is not important that you know precisely where one line ends and the next begins. Another interesting feature of speech box mode is indexing. This capability only works if the screen access program you're using supports indexing. Indexing means that the bell light is so closely linked to the PC cursor as it's reading that if you issue a stop reading command on your PC, the PC cursor and the bell light will both stop at the same place. In other words, the last word uttered by the bell light is the same word as where your PC cursor rests. This can be very handy when you're editing, for example, using a word processor in your PC. If your screen access program has the ability to change speech parameters for rate of speech, volume, and so forth, you can change how the bell light reads to you from your PC keyboard. Here's a brief list of speech parameters you might be able to control from your PC if your screen access program lets you do it.
Continue on track 8. Fast forward to the end of this side. Turn to considered. This is track 8 of the 1997 Braille Light 2000 User Guide. Continuing with section 15.6. The Braille Light as a speech synthesizer.
Volume. Control E, X, V, where X represents a volume from 01 to 16, 01 being the lowest volume. Tick. Control E, X, T, where X represents a tick from 01 to 63, 01 being the lowest tick. Speech rate. Control E, X, E, where X represents a rate from 01 to 16, 01 being the slowest speech rate. Frequency, control E, X, T, where X represents a tone from 01 to 25, 01 being the lowest tone. Punctuation level, control E followed by A, M, S, or Z, where the letters represent all, most, some, or no punctuation, respectively. Index marker, control F. Silence command, control X. If you're working specifically with Lazy Engineering's Screen Access Program, PC Master, you should enter speech box mode in a special way to ensure that all the telecommunications settings are set properly. Bring up the speech parameters menu with an AR sign chord, but then press a T chord. You'll hear speech box mode on exit. You're now ready to interact with PC Master. Some status menu settings are changed to make PC Master and your Braille light communicate better. When you exit speechbox mode, it'll be important to do so by the same method you entered it. In other words, press an AR sign chord and then P chord. Exiting speechbox mode in some other way may cause problems because the settings changed in the status menu won't revert to what they were before you entered speechbox mode to work with Teacher Master. The Bell Light's ability to perform as a portable speech synthesizer can come in handy if you have to interact with many computers or are on the road a lot and can't take extra equipment with you, or you just can't take a PC apart to install an internal speech synthesizer. Now we're going to look at going in the opposite direction. Sending Braille light output to your computer screen. You can have what you write in your Braille light be displayed directly on your computer screen. That screen may be your PC screen, or it may be a Braille and Speak or another Braille light. To turn your Braille light into a remote device, all the usual telecommunications settings previously described must match up, and cable requirements must be met. Press a 0 chord dot 356 chord on the Braille light. It says remote. Write a dot 4 to send output directly to your computer screen. You'll hear ASCII. To turn off remote mode, turn off the Braille light. Summary. We have certainly come a long way in this section. We suggest you review the steps outlined in those sections that meet your needs and not dwell on those that don't. Telecommunications can be wonderful, but the staggering array of possibilities can daunt even the hardiest among us. Take your time learning about telecommunications and use Appendix A, commonly asked questions, to help you when you get confused. Usually, telecommunications challenges arise from simply forgetting a step in the process. Once you've mastered the process, though, you'll definitely reap its rewards.